The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
Brad Sesmatt in studio, Sports360AZ.com, where Arizona-centric. What's going on in Arizona sports? Thanks for being with us. Streaming on Sports360AZ.com. We're on Twitter, at Brad Sesmatt, C-E-S-M-A-T, White Mountain Radio, over on Facebook as well. Lots and lots of different ways to consume our content that is, as I said, very Arizona-centric. On the show today, Lee Steinberg's going to be with us, longtime noted sports agent. I've known Lee for, 25 years probably. Knew him at his height, dealt with him when he was going into the valley, talked with him when he was in the bottom of the valley, and now he's come back. And he found himself into a bottle for a while and bottomed out, lost everything. His new book, The Agent, 40 Career Making Deals and Changing the Game. This guy represented Troy Aikman and Drew Bledsoe and Warren Moon, and I could go on his client list, Steve Young. And I want antidotes and stories. What was it like dealing with Al Davis on a contract? What was it like dealing with Bill Bidwell on a contract? And some of these, who is the most difficult client to get signed? He had Derek Thomas, late Derek Thomas at one time. That phone call when Derek Thomas was killed. A lot of NFL around Lee Steinberg. And is he going to get back in the representation game in a big way? Lee Steinberg will come up at the bottom of the hour. Greg Byrne, University of Arizona Athletic Director. Always good to catch up with Greg. With ASU, U of A tomorrow night, the Territorial Cup on the basketball court tomorrow night in Tucson. What's it like being the AD for a team that is undefeated? Does he see a loss coming? I mean, come on, let's be honest here. They're going to lose a game. How many NBA guys does he have? Kadeem Carey turning pro and a lot more. That will be with Greg Byrne. Staff's all here today getting it done. Here's Senior Executive Vice President of Everything, Eric Sorensen, to get us off and running with our Facebook question of the day.
Speaking of ASU, big day yesterday, Brad. Officially announced the university, their plans for the $210 million stadium renovation project to Sun Devil Stadium. So on our Facebook page at facebook.com/sports360AZ, we have a picture of the rendering. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, sure.
Use that in content? Okay.
Yeah, you sound smart.
Your first thought when seeing the new look was fill in the blank question mark. Mine was,
yeah,
the stadium's still going to be hot.
Oh, come on. Wah. Really?
Yeah.
That's what you came away with? Come on.
Really?
My first thing was, it's about time, or I'll believe it when I see it, because I know there's still a fundraising mechanism in place. Meaning, this is what we want to do. However, they presented it last night to potential donors, and the word potential means possibly, meaning they haven't signed a check. Okay, so there is a lot of work that needs to be done. You can start yanking seats out of the north end zone and have us run out there today with cameras and say, hey, they're starting construction. But here's the facts. They don't have this thing funded yet all the way through. They may think they do. They may have silent commitment. They may have people say, hey, look, go out there and get every last dollar, $20, $10, $100, $1,000, and I'll make up the difference. I don't know. But it's still not paid for. So this project has gone on longer than where will the Cardinals and Coyotes Stadium be located. If we remember back to the Los Arcos days and the Rio Salado Crossing Project days and all the nonsensical stuff that we went through. So, I thought it was progress. I'll get more into it as the show goes on. There's some other things I want to get to, but
my thinking is this, Brad. Follow the sports timeline here in the Valley.
Sure.
Okay, the Diamondbacks arrive. They build a stadium. The stadium has a roof. The Cardinals can't sell out games at Sun Devil Stadium. They build a stadium. It has a roof. The Diamondbacks open a new spring training facility. No, it doesn't have a roof, but they design the stadium where 80% of the seats are in the shade, and that's in February. If you're playing a 12:30 game at the end of the summer, and you're playing, say, fill-in-the-blank, Washington State, Cal, not great, Pac-12 opponent, are you going to go to the stadium to spend the money at the stadium, to sit in the stands, to pay for parking?
Are you done? You're hyperventilating.
I'm not. I'm just that's like
okay. So let me
my first thing is where's the roof?
So let me flip it around on you. You go play on the road. You play these who cares teams in early, like you go play Weber State who gave up 70, or you play NAU, or you play these teams. It just doesn't matter. And then you go on the road and you play New Mexico. And so then you come home and you have a Thursday night late. By the time, the point is, you're going to have to deal with some heat the first week or two. So what?
It's more than the first week.
The first, No. You're not going to play three home games in September. So what? So your schedule is backloaded with home games, which is an advantage. You go to you're going to tell the conference, we can't play any conference home games the first 3 weeks of the season. When was the last time they played a home conference home game in weeks one or two?
No, it's a good point.
They never do.
It's a good point. But guess what? If you're playing a high-profile team like Wisconsin, yes, Wisconsin was a night game, but guess what? It was still really hot for the Wisconsin game.
And it was really, and I understand that's uncomfortable. There was a couple fans I heard that had to be hauled out of there because they just became exhausted with heat. No, there is that. But if you're looking at it from a financial standpoint, which I'm sure that they did, and also, how often does the stadium get used? Now, your point, I'll get into it further in about 15 minutes when I get further into this. But it's a good debate to have. Head over to Facebook.com/Sports360. Check out the picture for yourself. See what you think. There's some videos that we've attached to it that ASU has provided. All sorts of stuff on the stadium project over on our spot right now. Like our page, share your input. That's Facebook.com/Sports360AZ. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is in the beautiful White Mountains. Now, the Winter Games was scheduled for next week, all right? Scheduled for next week, but there's not enough snow. So the Winter Games have now been moved back to February, February 20th. More information, go to Honda.com. Got to have snow to have Winter Games. We're not going to have dogs mushing in the muck. That's not happening. That's not what it's all about. That the Honda Resort and Casino is still doing their great work there for you this weekend. If you want to pull down the slot, eat some great food, watch the NFC and AFC championship games, championship weekend, or just get away for the weekend. Stop in at the Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino, they've been a part of Sports 360 AZ since day number one. Great people at the Honda Resort and Casino. So speaking of the playoffs, I want to start there because we're now on Wednesday. I like this weekend a whole lot more than the Super Bowl. Super Bowl, I've done a couple Super Bowls because we're in a day and age where we can record the game. I've been at Disneyland on Super Bowl Sunday a couple times. Why is that? Because there's nobody there. And I can go back and I can watch the game from start to finish. And the game usually isn't that great. And I can watch it that night when I get back home. Seriously. This weekend, I'm going nowhere on Sunday afternoon because when you're this close to making it to the Super Bowl, this is the game that you want to be at. This is the game you want to watch. If I were offered tickets to be in Denver this weekend or New England this weekend, I'd go. If I were offered tickets to go to Super Bowl, I'd scalp them. I'd give them away. I wouldn't go. I have no interest. It doesn't do anything for me. The games, though, they're compelling. Seattle and the 49ers, to me, is compelling. The over-under on that is 39. Eric, are you taking 39? I'm going under on that. These are two of the top three defenses in the NFL.
Going
you
under. Win.
Yeah, you've got to go under, right? This is like a 13-10 or 17-13 game.
Yeah, plus who knows what the weather is going to be like in Seattle.
Well, I do. This is what I do. 11 miles per hour win.
Yep, sounds familiar.
Cloudy,
yeah, rainy,
yeah.
Miserable.
So, you know,
mid-40s.
So the Denver game, Denver, New England, the over-under on that is 55.
Over.
I'm going over too, but here's my concern. So there's a chance of 22 mile per hour winds. Okay. 36 degrees, 20% chance of rain. We're sitting here on Wednesday. If the wind picks up, I probably am going to go under. But I've got to wait on that. We'll have Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas, the wisest of the wise guys, on Friday. But as we're sitting here on Wednesday, the weather in that game is more of a concern to me. So, you know, I'm looking forward to both games. But I think if you look at over-under, I'm going under right now. Matt Leinart showed up. Now, Matt Leinart is not somebody that I typically would work into an opening commentary, but Matt Leinart weighed in on Ken Wisenhunt going to the Tennessee Titans yesterday. Matt Leinart was on a television show, Fox Sports Live, and he was asked about Wisenhunt going to the Tennessee Titans.
I don't think it's a great fit, and I don't think it's great timing, and here's why. You look at his tenure in Arizona, only 2 years he had success, and in those 2 years, Kurt Warner ran that football team. I was a part of it. I mean, I literally, every single Monday, Kurt Warner would come in and implement 20 to 30 new plays every single Monday, which he would say, I want these in my game plan. We became a spread offense, and we became Kurt Warner's offense. Then Kurt Warner retires, they go 5-11 twice, and they go 8-8.
Is he doing a Zumba class? What is the deal?
Yeah, I tried to get rid of the music, but I just can't. That's how I found the audio.
He didn't even sound like Matt Leinart.
No, he didn't.
Can you find some Matt Leinart from 5 years? Did he do HGH for his voice? Like, Matt Leinart 5 years ago was, well, I thought I played pretty well. By the way, he threw three picks, but I thought I played pretty well. I think I deserve to be the starting quarterback of the Arizona. By the way, Matt, you've been released. So is this the audition that, look, it didn't work out in Buffalo, and if it doesn't work out in Buffalo, then you might as well get on Fox Sports Live and say something controversial. I know, and it's fine. That's good insight. Do I believe that that's what happened? Absolutely I do. I think we all do that. But what Matt is suggesting is, hey, Ken Wisenhunt wasn't all that. And there has been that belief. And there was that belief that it was really Kurt Warner that was all that. I tend to look at it and say, if you look at that roster top to bottom, that was a group of players that just said, we know how to ball. I'm Edgerrin James. I'm Anquan Boldin. I know how to ball. And I'm going to ball out and I'm going to go do my thing. I got to bring some of that Matt Leinart back and break that down, like, I don't know, frame by frame. On the other side, and there's a few other things in my mind, too, I want to get to. Around the Wisenhunt hire. More on the Sun Devil renovation project, the stadium renovation project. The Lakers are in town tonight. Nobody cares. The Lakers are taking on the Suns. Nobody cares. The Coyotes can't win to save their lives. And I think it's really a put-up, shut-up time for ASU basketball tomorrow down in Tucson. It really is. All right. Brad Sussmat with you. Sports360AZ.com. Lee Steinberg at the bottom of the hour, his new book, Bottoming Out and Coming Back Up for Air. That's not the title. The title is The Agent, but how he did that, and much, much more. Stay with us. So it is a big day in the Valley because, and across the state, if you're an Arizona State Sun Devil football fan, anytime renovation happens to a facility, it's news. And when there's new facilities coming on, online, like we've seen, as Eric pointed out earlier, whether it's Chase Field or U.S. Airways, formerly America West, or out in Glendale, jobbing.com, and all that stuff. There's a buzz, I think, that gets created. Now, when the buzz goes along with, hey, we have to put some money into this, so we're going to launch a fundraising drive. The fundraising drive for some people is going to be a turnoff. Ah, we don't need to give sports more. We don't care about sports. We care more about the arts. We care more about the science. And that's all well and good. The problem is the football player is going to get usually, or the basketball player is usually going to bring more attention to the university than the scholar athlete, the scholar itself. I hate to be that plain about it, but that's just facts. Jahi Carson has put Arizona State, or James Harden has put Arizona State in places that their PR staff can't get them into just because they are who they are and what they do on the field, or the court. So you have to have these facilities in place to attract the top players. You have to have these facilities in place to attract the top students, and that turns some people off. I understand that. But this stadium needs to happen because I'm looking right into the camera on this. Guys, if you're an ASU fan, if you watch the show on sports360az.com, the stadium is a dump with a capital D-U-M-P. Let's not sugarcoat this anymore. The days of saying, well, it was good enough for Coach Kush and the players, I'm not demeaning them. It's just a different era. It's not even a relic anymore when I walk through there. It is beyond repair in certain areas. It's a dive that needs to be improved dramatically. So if you can get past that and not be a person that sits there and whines about, well, I remember back in the day when I went with my dad and we had five seats in section 203. That's great. That doesn't do anything now. Their whole thing about be a part of the solution, I like that, but it sounds sometimes like you're beating people over the head with a shovel saying, I'm smarter than you. That's not the case. My own view is I've been into enough stadiums, and I see how now these athletic departments are attracting. You think when kids walk into Oregon and air freshener comes out of their locker room, it means a hill of beans? No. But guess what? Kids want to go there because there's air freshener coming out of their locker. Well, we just don't need those kids. Oh, I don't know. Oregon's program's pretty good. You might want to try to be like that. And just try it. So last night they had this big get-together over at ASU with potential sponsors and all that. Here is Dr. Michael Crow. Dr. Crow spoke, why is this project so important to Arizona State?
You have to have a place to connect directly to the fans. Literally, some people could say, well, why do you have any fans? Everybody can just watch the game on television. And that's not the same game. It's not the same game as tens of thousands of individuals attached to the game as it is occurring in a way in which they can hear it, smell it, feel it. That's what they want.
Yeah, let me go back on this first part of Michael Crow. Not everybody can see it because you're on the Pac-12 network, so nobody can see your game, or very few people can see your games because the Pac-12 network is nowhere to be seen. So you're not quite right there. I like his passion. There is something to be said because when you're at home, they don't show the band come out on the field. They don't show the fireworks going off. You're not there with all your friends. Yeah, it is a place to be. Sun Devil Stadium has not been a place to be because the football program has been awful or mediocre at best for several years until recently. So take the momentum that Todd Graham has put out there. And I'll even give Dennis Erickson some credit on this. For all the faults I found with Dennis towards the end of letting guys like Vontez be just beyond stupid, he was the guy that recruited him to come to ASU. There wasn't no discipline, but those players were here. Dennis brought in several of those players, and Todd Graham's acknowledged that, which I think is very cool. So at the end of the Erickson era, the last couple of years of Todd Graham, you can't ask for fundraising mechanisms to be put in place and for a stadium when your team is nobody cares. And so for several years, there was no chance for people to go out and pursue this. Now they're in a spot. Here is more of Michael Crow from last night.
We've got many, many, many important projects at ASU. Projects that have to do with the production of nurses and engineers and scientists and business leaders, as opposed to a stadium which is used a few times a year. Yet we have decided, in the context of advancing the institution, that this is a project of immense importance and priority to us for the further evolution and advancement of our football program.
Okay, so what he's saying there, reading between the lines, is we're not going to get eyeballs on our nursing program. Sorry. It's important to us, and we're going to have facilities put in place. And I happen to agree with that, that this I don't like it when it's all about sports. I want the complete experience. My son just went through Arizona State. I thought he had a pretty complete experience. I have a daughter right now over Grand Canyon University. She's having a very good experience. I have a daughter who's going to Chicago next year to go to college. I think she's going to have a terrific experience at the college she's going to. And I have one more that I don't know where they're going to go, but I don't want them to go to a place that's just a football factory and nothing else, or an athletic facility and nothing else. I don't think that's good. I think that's healthy. But he's laying it out there that, look, I know some of you, well, here's what he's saying. I know some of you don't care at all about football and you don't go to the stadium and you'd rather be in the nursing program, but we're going to do this. And I respect him for that. I respect him for that. Todd Graham got up and rallied the troops last night. Here's Todd Graham.
There's something sacred about that ground out there that Frank Cush coached on those sidelines. There's something sacred about the players, the great players and the thing. Tillman Tunnel is sacred. It's a sacred place, and it's unique to Arizona State. And that's one of the things that I want you to know, my support of this stadium, how excited I am.
Okay, so hearing that, I don't hear these in advance, but what I'm hearing there is Sunday morning at 9:30, I'm sitting in the second row and I'm singing some nice church tunes, and then the pastor comes up and preaches. And that's fine. That's why Todd has had success. He's very good in these spots. He went right to the heart that I've said, and he's talking right to the same people I've talked to that said, wow, you know, when Frank Kush had the games here and the stadium was fine then, and it's fine now. He's trying to not be the jerk that I'm being about it. That, come on, guys, move on. I love Coach Kush, but those days are so far gone, and people that sit there and just wax poetically and watch the building collapse in front of them, that's why this program's in the mess it's in. So sure, he's going to mention in his talking points, and look, it's not like they say, hey, Todd, why don't you come speak for a couple of minutes? They sit with him, and they lay out things, and they give him bullet points, and they rehearse, and they, I mean, that's part of the deal in this day and age. When you're asking for big bucks, there's big meetings, and a lot of times I think it's wasted space. But, you know, Todd was told, and in his mind, yeah, Coach Kush, we'll work that in. We're working in the Tillman Tunnel. That will resonate with people that are in here that are skeptical. Here is more Todd Graham on the stadium. It has been and will continue to be a centerpiece on campus.
You talk about this stadium. This is the most visible facility of Arizona State in the country, in the nation. It's on national TV. People see it more than any other facility. What it means to the people here, it's actually, and like I say, it's a place that is should be a place where champions reside.
All right, and again, it sounds like this meeting last, I wasn't there. They didn't invite me. They don't invite media to this for the most part. It sounds like this was a group of people that have a lot of money, they're philanthropic, but they have other interests outside of football. There's a certain group over at ASU that has had their shoulders tapped on for years and years and years to fund this project and fund that project. Clearly, this wasn't the group that was in that that environment last night from what I can hear. I saw on Twitter that Jake Plummer and Jeff Van Raphorst were there to speak or to be in attendance. I've not talked to either Jeff or Jake. I will just say, hey, what went on? But that's fine. You have to do all these things to ask people for money. If Arizona State had shown up last night and said, hey, we have this all funded, and this is what we're going to do, and we're going to move forward with this project, that'd be terrific. But that's not the smart way to do business here. Go ask. Go get some people that haven't been involved, that have been sitting on the sidelines. Go get some younger people. Go get some guys in their late 30s and into their 40s and even early 50s that have not been tapped on or are now just starting to find their way, or they have come out of the housing crisis in 08 and 09 that lost their businesses and they've been able to rebound. Go find those people. It's a good day that they're addressing this. I'm not poo-pooing this at all. Eric has some stuff on the stadium that he and I may go back and forth on a little bit later on in the show. But on the other side, looking forward to talking to Lee Steinberg next. He was at one time the super agent. They made the movie Jerry Maguire after him. He bottomed out. His new book, The Agent, My 40-Year Career Making Deals and Changing the Game. He joins me next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Get the Suns and Lakers tonight. Downtown Phoenix, Brad Sussmat with you. Sports360AZ.com. Tomorrow, ASU in Tucson against the number one ranked Wildcats. Greg Byrne in about 25 minutes, the athletic director at U of A. Tonight, and Lee Steinberg here momentarily, tonight I usually am very excited for the Lakers. Very excited to have the Lakers roll into town. The Lakers have completely bottomed out this year. There will be no Kobe Bryant tonight. There will be no Steve Nash tonight. Ron Artest no longer around. Paul Gasol is playing hurt. The Lakers played last night. The Suns are coming off a long road trip. Yeah, they don't have Bledsoe, but this is a game that the Suns should win. This should be a game. Suns-Lakers is usually packed. It's usually 70-80% Laker colors when the Suns aren't good and the Lakers are good. It's usually one of those types of crowds. Tonight, there'll be plenty of empty seats, I'm sure, and it's a team that the Suns should run right over. Mike D'Antoni, when he used to come back into town, it was a big deal. Now it's not a big deal. In fact, The rumor on the coaching front is if D'Antoni doesn't make it through this year, John Calipari, maybe it's time for John Calipari to pick up his sticks and leave out at Kentucky. So that game is tonight in downtown Phoenix. Tomorrow, I'm not expecting much of a game down in Tucson, but I would like to see one out of Arizona State. Arizona State, over the weekend in Los Angeles, didn't do a whole lot to impress me. You should beat USC, but UCLA basically toyed with them, I thought, and didn't put up much of a fight. And for whatever reason, Jahi Carson hasn't looked like the Jahi Carson that we saw a year ago or even earlier this season. Now, some of that is teams going after Jahi, most certainly. I'm going to give credit and respect to the other side of the coin. But for him to go to the next level, and he's already said he's going to the next level, then he has to show me more than what I was able to see over the last, I'd say about the last 2 to 3 weeks. I've seen all of their games. They're on television everywhere, so I can watch him. And he just seems like there's something, I don't know if he's not quite right. I'm not going to make excuses for him. But tomorrow night in Tucson, if they go down there and they get blown out, and it's his final game being a Sun Devil down in Tucson, that'd be very disappointing to me. They're 71 right now in the RPI. That may be early for some of you on the 15th of January. It's not too early for me. You have to start looking at RPI and signature victories.
You think he's definitely going now? Still, like 100%.
Already said. Already
yeah,
said.
But it's not. He's not going. If he continues at this pace, he's not really going into the NBA on any sort of upswing, especially since what we've seen the last couple weeks.
When was the last time you saw a kid say, "You know what? I said I was going in November, and now I've changed my mind, and I'm going to stay because I'm not playing well this year."
It happens.
I haven't seen it.
It happens.
I haven't seen not somebody,
but not
that,
some, no, not
that
someone
height.
As visible, not
yeah,
someone
yeah,
as
yeah,
visible
yeah.
as Jahi with yeah. the, I don't want to say ego because he's a pretty humble guy. Just the, I don't know, whatever the aura that Jahi Carson gives off. But if you're an NBA scout and you're looking at, he's not shooting the ball well. He's not making his teammates around him better. The team is struggling. He's whining. He's complaining to the refs. He's sulking on the bench.
I haven't seen any of that.
I have. You didn't see that in the UCLA game?
I didn't see him whine and sulk. Did you?
I saw him on a couple times look at the refs and get beat back down the court by whoever he was guarding for UCLA.
Now,
during the layup line
no,
that was the, most of the first
yeah,
half.
No, no, no,
so.
No. I'll agree with you on that. You're making it. It sounded to me like you're saying you're seeing some things.
No,
about
he's
him
not.
On the sidelines
I mean, he's not
all that.
Cancerous. But
no.
I'm just saying.
No, no, no,
I mean, you know, your public perception. What people see is what people see. Whether it's the truth or not, what people see is what people see. And I don't know. Yeah, he's probably going to go. But what is Jahi Carson right now? Is he still a first-round pick?
The way he's played, he's a late first.
Yeah.
In my mind. I mean,
yeah.
I thought he was towards the end of the lottery. And look, it may be, Eric, and some people have gotten upset with me over at ASU about this, it may be that he's cruising. I thought Will Sutton was cruising during the bowl game. You can go out and you can play and play at a level, but he's not nearly as aggressive as what I saw out of him last year. He's not looking to make the shots like I saw out of him last year. And I think when you see where he is right now, the team has fallen down because he hasn't risen the rest of them up. There's some good pieces on that team. Jermaine Marshall is a pretty darn good shooter.
Excellent.
I'll take him from downtown. I have no problems with that. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I was at Santan Ford yesterday. I was driving my Fusion. I just had finished doing a speaking thing, and I'm going along. All of a sudden, I get a warning light. It's about my tire. And I'm looking at the tire light thinking, oh, no, I'm on the 10. So guess who had to change a tire alongside the road yesterday afternoon? Yeah, yours truly. And it happens. So I go over to Santan Ford. I said, you know, this odd thing happened with this tire. Within an hour, and I'm sitting there with all these other people in the customer service. You ever been sitting there in customer service and you're there for, it seems like an eternity, hour after hour after hour? Well, there were people that were getting helped. They'd be checked back on. They would be updated. They would get in, get out, nice, comfortable lounge to sit in, get some business done, take care of things. Part of the deal, I get the tire fixed, back on my way, just like everybody else in there. The customer service side is a big deal at Santan Ford. Stop in for yourself. Check it out, Santan Ford, where it is all about you. That's Santan Ford, santanford.com. You can also Go on our website, sports360az.com, and check it out for yourself. Step aside here, chasing Lee Steinberg. We'll have much more after this timeout as we continue on a busy Wednesday. Tomorrow in Tucson, U of A, ASU, Greg Byrne joins us in about 15 minutes on the Wildcats and their undefeated record. Stay with us. It's good Wednesday, Brad Sussmatt with you, Sports 360 AZ. Tomorrow in Tucson for number one ranked U of A against Arizona State on the basketball court. Greg Byrne, athletic director at U of A, joins me in about 15 minutes. Let's turn our attention now, though. I've mentioned Lee Steinberg going to join us. The name of the book, The Agent, My 40-Year Career Making Deals and Changing the Game. We've had Lee on the show several times. I would say about 26 years I've known, dealt with Lee on a various number of projects, capacities. Why this book? Why now?
You know, I had a crash because of alcohol back in March of 2010 and decided I'd put sobriety first, and if nothing else, I'd be a good father. 4 years have passed since then, and I'm excited about the ability to go back and represent role model athletes that can retrace their roots to the high school, collegiate, professional community, and make a difference and set up charitable and community programs to make a difference. Also, there's been a great expansion in what is now the sports business and sports agency, so it also involves content supply, which might be sports-themed motion pictures, television, video games, any app that can fit, and helping projects like that. And, of course, I'm still passionate on the concussion issue.
This book, you know, I've known you through the years as the real-life Jerry Maguire is how people introduce you, but I've always felt like, yeah, that's true to a point, but there's a lot that you have interests in. When you crashed out, why do you think that happened, Lee?
I had a series of reverses in my personal life. It wasn't work. The 61st round draft picks I represented in football and the 8 number ones and half the starting quarterbacks and a big baseball and basketball practice, that didn't do it. But we lost a house to mold, and then we lost a second house to mold. My two kids experienced really troubling visual problems. My father died a long, agonizing death. And then ultimately I got divorced, which destroyed the concept of ever after. So it was a feeling of powerlessness, and obviously I picked a self-destructive way to...
You there?
Yes.
Okay, I lost you there for a second. The book is The Agent, Lee Steinberg. It's written by Michael Arkus. You can go on, and it's all over the place. You can find it at Barnes & Noble. You can find it. It's available for Nook. It's on Amazon. It's everywhere. And it's a book that I think will open a lot of eyes, because I could talk to Lee all day long on the football end of thing. He went through his bottoming out. He's come back up. I'm curious, in the book, do you talk at all about, or do you have anecdotes of, the hardest person for you to sign when you're in the agency business? Who was the hardest person for you to sign?
I think that profile athletes, from the standpoint of playing, it allows us to pick a group of athletes that usually use parents or some screening device in their way of picking agents. The franchise quarterback, the young prospective franchise quarterback, the young Troy Aikman or Steve Young or Warren Moon or Drew Bledsoe or Ben Roethlisberger or any of those players, they occupy a privileged position. They make the most money contractually. They're have the highest name recognition. They are able to do a preponderant majority of the endorsements. And so those are the players that are like the ace in the deck and require extra handling.
dealing with Al Davis, owners. Let's just go through owners. I mean, what was dealing with Al Davis like? This may or may not be in the book, but I'm just curious because we're putting it all on the table.
It is in the book, and Al Davis was the owner of the Raiders. I had Raiders season tickets from when I was going to law school at Bolt Hall in Berkeley on. And Al used to call me late at night in my Berkeley house, and he would talk about history. He would talk about politics. He would talk about war. He would talk about all those subjects. And he had the largest network of people responding to him. He had more information than anybody else in the world. And he had a half Brooklyn, half Southern accent. And it's funny because I sat next to his son in my season tickets, and who now owns the team. But Al, for his time, was the greatest innovator imaginable, and then time caught up with him.
Dealing with the Bidwells out here in Arizona, what's that like?
Back in the days they were in St. Louis, I had a series of second-round draft picks with them, Tim McDonald, John Lee, Theodis Brown. They were very difficult to deal with then. After they moved the team, I had Neil Lomax when Arizona opened up, and then later Jake Plummer, and then later Leonard Davis. They were just fine to deal with. Bob, they were excellent. Turned out that the arguments that they made about they would pay players if they got to a large market or had a bigger revenue base, those arguments ended up being true. And it's not just Bill. Bill Bidwell Jr. is great. So they're actually a good organization now to deal with.
The name of the book is The Agent. Lee Steinberg with me for a couple of minutes. And it's available everywhere. It's, I think, a very insightful read for all you football fans and just fans of business as well. When you decided to get back into this after you went through the bottoming out and coming back, how difficult, what did you learn from this process, Lee?
Well, the first thing was to make sure to keep balance in my life because if I keep sobriety first and family second and then career, there's a much better balance. I had the good fortune of getting funded by a group of businessmen in Houston. There were a number of different people. And again, Brad, the contemporary model takes football, baseball, basketball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, and uses them to power a big marketing arm that can power teams, leagues, any interesting individual corporations, and then, as I said, the studio, so that we're exploding in the sports industry, in sports television and memorabilia and fantasy and ways to use all the platforms and content supply in a really dynamic way. So it's the ability to synergize all of that into great opportunity. Back in the 90s, I dreamed up something called Athlete Direct,
yep,
where athletes went up on the internet, and we signed Michael Jordan, we signed Ken Griffey Jr., many of the quarterbacks, and fans for the first time could interact with their sports heroes, read about their foundations, read about their weekly diaries with an e-commerce application, and we germinated that in our office and then sold it for about 50 times our investment. And there are more opportunities like that out there.
Are you going to represent players again, Lee?
Oh, yes. We got started, and I'm sorry, I'm outside my gym, and the plane, it's so hot in Southern California, the planes are taking off in the opposite direction from Orange County Airport.
No worries.
And because we have Santa Ana winds in, and it's 86 degrees. I love representing athletes. I love to be part of their maturation process. We got a very, very late start this year. did not get funded until November. Most of the players had already narrowed their decisions. So next year will be our big year to start. I may do a player or two this year, but we're pointing towards next year. And then take a look at the basketball draft and take a look at the baseball draft and go forward. I think that our approach, which focuses on second career and making sure that whether it's broadcast with Troy Aikman or Steve Young or Desmond Howard or Greg Anthony or business with I've now got three clients who played in the NFL who own minority stakes in an NFL team. Ray Childress with Houston, Ward Nunn with Atlanta, and Daron Cherry just divested himself in down in Jacksonville. So what you essentially have is a completely new set of opportunities for athletes to have very, very exciting second careers.
In the book, Derek Thomas, did you talk about him at all? And that was, I think, one of the hardest times in talking with you through the years, the death of Derek Thomas and that player and how special he was and what could have been. Was that addressed in your book or just in your general view of your life so far in your industry?
Derek Thomas was a special soul. Not only did he make the Pro Bowl every single year that he played for the Kansas City Chiefs, he had one game against Dave Craig where he sacked him seven times. And he was a dynamic force. Now, off the field, he was absolutely gifted. He stood by President Clinton back in the Memorial Day speech where he was able to speak for all the children that had lost fathers in the Vietnam War. He set up a program called Third and Long in dyslexia for reading problems in the Kansas City schools. He was put a run for student body president of the league because he was part of a group that was Deion Sanders and Barry Sanders and Broderick Thomas and Bruce Smith. He was like the gang leader. And his death was pretty mind-boggling. You don't really expect someone in their late 20s or 30s to die. And his was from not wearing seatbelts in a traffic accident.
And as his representative, as his agent, when you get those phone calls, because I would think that has to be one of the toughest phone calls you've ever taken.
Actually, I had visited him when he was in the hospital in Miami, and he looked like he might not get full use of his faculties, but he's going to recover. And so unexpectedly, a blood clot formed and ended up killing him. So it was unexpected. It's that's hyperdramatic. Every Sunday, I should tell you, when the players call in with their various injuries, was also traumatic. And I now believe that the simple act of an offensive lineman hitting a defensive lineman at the inception of every football play causes a low-level concussive hit every time. So if that's true, then you could have an offensive lineman leaving football, playing in high school, college, and the pros, who suffered 10,000 sub-concussive hits, and not one of which was diagnosed, none of which he's aware of, but the aggregate of which does much more brain damage than three knockout blows. So concussion presents an existential threat to football, because if you have a third of the mothers telling their kids, you can play any sport except not tackle football, then football won't die. It's just that the socioeconomics will change, and the players who play it will be the same people who take the risk in boxing.
And you've been very passionate on that topic, as you know, I've talked through the years. Before we go, and I could go through all sorts of antidotes from the book, the Steve Young antidote, though, briefly on that one, with the LA Express and almost getting into a physical altercation with the owner of the Express at the time.
This was the confluence of the USFL's fight for survival, so they needed a big quarterback in Los Angeles to lock down that franchise. Steve always wanted to play in the NFL. It was really unlikely to play in the USFL, but they convinced him that John Hadle, who was the coach that coached John Elway the year prior, would really help his development. He'd get a chance to play. Sid Gilman, architect of the modern passing game. So it was an easy negotiation for me. It lasted about 17 hours. I just kept saying no. And eventually they got up to a figure, which was a package, which was $42 million. And this is back in 1984. This is 30 years ago. So $42 million was still a would have read like $300 or $400 million today.
Sure.
And so that we went to execute the contract, and the owner was feeling like it should be done quickly. So they hadn't really prepared him for the fact that going over those documents takes hours. So he got progressively angrier and angrier and angrier, and at one point called Steve and I into his office where he was pushing Steve in the chest, and Steve said, if you do that one more time, I'm going to deck you. And before we knew it, we were standing on the street of San Francisco at 3:30 in the morning being ordered out of the building. But Oldenburg apologized, the deal came back together, and Steve spent 2 years there. Then he played in the second season with Tampa Bay, so he played 3 football seasons in 2 years. We never would have moved him to San Francisco, except that Bill Walsh said Joe Montana had a bad injury and would probably never play again. Famous last words.
Right.
Steve's present resurrected Montana. And he had some really hard years going to law school, sitting on the bench, but eventually comes back to make the Hall of Fame.
That's good stuff. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate the invite to your party in New York. I got my eyes open out here in Arizona for the Super Bowl next year for you.
Brad, you know, you're a longtime participant and guest at our parties. This will be the 26th year.
Yep.
We're actually, a beneficiary is going to be the Navy SEAL Foundation, and I'm doing a live screen uplink between the party and troops in the field in Afghanistan. So in addition to partying, we're going to recognize what's going on in the world and try to have some benefit come from that party.
Lee, appreciate the time. As always, good read on the book, The Agent. That's Lee Steinberg. Appreciate his time being with us. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. White Mountain Radio on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Thanks again to Lee Steinberg. Again, the name of the book is The Agent. Off we go to hour number 2, Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ. Thanks again to Lee Steinberg. Always good catching up with Lee. His new book, The Agent, 40-year career making deals and changing the game. A lot of people reacting to that interview. Have dealt with Lee for 25 years, and it's nice to see some stories coming out and coming back up for air on his front. I'll get you caught up some things on my mind in a minute, but as promised, we switch gears tomorrow night down in Tucson, Territorial Cup on the basketball court. U of A 17-0. Is there a point in time where we see a loss coming? I don't see it. I just don't. And I'm not trying to butter up our next guest, the athletic director, Greg Byrne, because it's always good to have Greg on the show. But your team's playing lights out. Are you surprised with their success?
Well, we are playing well, and it's a tribute to Coach Miller and his staff and the guys on the team who are bought into, Sean talks all the time about it, the process of building a program. And we've made a lot of success, had a lot of success and feel very good about where we are at this point of the season, but we got a long way to go and need to stay focused one game at a time on what's ahead. And obviously we got have our rivals coming in tomorrow night into Tucson, and we'll see what we can do with it, and hopefully we can play well and get a victory.
As an AD, what do you like about this team when you watch them play?
Well, as an AD, there's a couple things that stick out to me that, first of all, we have a, and you always hear this, but Brad, it can't. My statement here can't be any more genuine. They're still 18 to 22 years old, so you always say a prayer every night before you go to bed that everything goes well with all of your student athletes. But at the same time, too, they're good kids. I mean, they are great kids across the board. I like being around all of them. They're extremely polite. So that part's nice, and they're doing well in the classroom. But from a playing standpoint, they're very unselfish. They all have their different strengths, and that we build the program around. And you don't hear a lot of I's, me's, and my's. They're always talking about the team, and Coach Miller does a great job of keeping them focused on that and his communications with them. When I'm fortunate enough to be around him, when I hear him talk to the team, and you don't see a lot of hanging heads or anything like that. And so they were very focused on the team concept. They certainly are athletic. They defend extremely well. Mm-hmm. And because of that, even when we're not having our best night offensively, if we're still playing our defense, that's certainly keeping us in the game. And this year's gotten us a few victories that maybe we weren't at our best offensively. And so that's fun to see too. And then obviously our community, our university is certainly behind us, and we're filling up McHale every game, which AD's like that too.
Sure, sure. And we're talking with Greg Byrne for a couple of minutes with Brad Sussmat, U of A athletic director tomorrow night, ASU, U of A in Tucson. U of A ranked number one in the nation. We'll see if they can keep it going. A week ago Saturday, there was a big basketball game up here. Finley Prep was in the Valley, and Sean Miller came up. It was after the Washington win, which was a very hard game. I saw the game, and I was surprised to see not only Sean, but Nick Johnson was at the arena as well. And they walk in, and yeah, it's like the Beatles coming in. Hey, Sean Miller's here. Hey, Nick Johnson's there. But they take time to actually, you know, sign some autographs or talk to people. And I think that I've seen some college coaches, when they're on a business trip or just making an appearance, be a little standoffish. Sean is all about business. Let's not mistake that. But I kind of like how he's molded this team, and that they actually are able to go enjoy themselves away from the game, a hard-fought win over Washington, and be out in a public setting. I don't know. ADs don't get that stuff much, so I just thought you should know.
Well, I appreciate that. I did not know Sean before I came to Arizona almost 4 years ago now. Jim Livengood deserves all the credit. And Robert Shelton, who was the president, who I know his name was in the news yesterday.
Yeah.
They deserve the credit for hiring Sean. And at the same time, too, he and I had a number of mutual friends in the college basketball world, and I couldn't hear enough good things about who he is as a person. And from that, and you got to be careful with us sometimes when you're near the AD with the coaches and such, but he's become a very good friend of mine, and I really like him, because obviously we're having a lot of success. Sean hasn't changed, you know, a bit from the guy I met 4 years ago and from what I've known about him before that. And he's a real humble guy, and gives credit to the people around him like really good leaders do. And he is very approachable. He loves watching film. He loves coaching basketball. He does a great job in recruiting. He does a great job in academics and compliance. But when he's out in the public eye, he's very good about making people feel warm and welcome. And that's a real credit to him.
You mentioned Dr. Shelton. What'd you make out of that yesterday? Him leaving the Fiesta Bowl.
Well, I'm a big Robert Shelton fan. I think he did a good job up there with the Fiesta Bowl, and I don't have any inside information, but he's a man with tremendous integrity. He works hard. I like him a lot, and I know sounds like he's going to be moving back to Tucson, and he lives right around the corner from me, so I'll look forward to get to see him more.
One of my favorite people up here to deal with. I mean, real man of character and integrity.
Then he starts. Has he ever started talking physics with you?
You know, I'm done after like 2 seconds.
Yeah, I'm right there too.
He just kind of looks.
But
at
the
me
amazing
like...
thing is, he can talk about it on kind of a common man's level to where you actually understand about half of what he's talking about.
Right, right. You're better than I am. I'm like 10%. Do you know Ray Anderson as well? The new AD at ASU.
Never met him, but I'm looking forward to meeting him. And he obviously has a strong professional background with the NFL and then I know he was with the Atlanta Falcons as well, and then I have not had a chance to meet him, but I'll look forward to the opportunity probably here in a short time.
What do ADs from rival schools, they ever meet up? I mean, did you?
Yeah,
know Steve
you know
Metcher?
It's interesting. I when I was at Mississippi State, the AD at Ole Miss was Pete Boone, and Pete and I had a really good relationship. You obviously want to beat each other in everything you do, and I think it is important to have discussions with your rivals, AD, because there will be times on conference issues that you need to stick together on different scheduling issues and different things that we're deciding from a conference standpoint. And then there's times where, you know, decisions that we make in our state can positively or negatively impact both of our institutions. And so we need to have those type of communications to where you got a good, healthy, trustworthy environment. And that's always my goal, whether that's been Pete, whether it was Lisa Love or Steve, and now with Ray.
So when ASU announces they're going to do a stadium renovation, you've been doing your stadium renovation. You have no insight on it, but you are curious, I'm sure, as to what they're doing and what is going to be different about the process.
Sure. We're always watching what our competition's doing. And we've been, obviously, you pay attention to it, try to understand what the market, where the marketplace is, what you're competing against, and at the same time, too, you don't want to be so consumed with it where it distracts you from what we're trying to do
right
here. And obviously, we've made a lot of progress because of the generosity of our donors, because of the hardworking staff that we have here, here in the athletic department, the rest of the university, and you know, we've been able to get the Lowell Stevens football facility opened, and we've been able to get McHale going. And you know, we announced the $6 million league gift from Cole and Jeannie Davis, and then we had the $8 million challenge gift, which actually in the last 4 or 5 days we've made significant inroads on matching that $8 million, which we'll announce here soon. You know, that's because of the passion that people have for our university and our athletic program. And so, you know, we do watch what other people are doing. And at the same time, too, we try to stay focused on our task at hand and be proud of, the accomplishments and successes we're starting to have there. And that's a group effort to make that happen.
And I'm curious too, when ASU was up at Stanford, I took the show up there for football. And Steve Patterson was in the lobby, and he was taking a group of guys over to Cal that morning of the game to just go see their stadium and to talk with them and visit with them a little bit about how they went through their stadium project. If ASU were to call you, if the AD, if Ray Anderson, they would never call you for advice on things like stadiums or facilities, or did you deal with this group in the world of athletic directors, not just ASU, U of A?
I can't tell you what they would do with us, but if they have something that I'd like to take a look at, I'd pick up the phone and call them. I think that's the right thing to do. And,
right.
And in fact, here in about a half hour, the athletics director at Kansas State University is going to be here in my office, and I'm going to go show him the Lowell Stevens football facility. And actually, I'm going to have a group of ADs with me at the basketball game tomorrow night. And so we're always taking a look. They want to come see our new video board in McHale, which is really nice. And they also want to see the Lowell Stevens football facility and see our plans that we're moving forward with McHale. And I'm just, the last thing I think you'll try, I hope you ever hear out of me is eyes, me's, and my's.
Right.
You know, it's us collectively as a group. But I couldn't be prouder of the job that our development team, our operations team, everybody is doing to move these projects forward. And Rich Rodriguez was big in the fundraising for Lowell Stevens. Sean Miller has been. Nia Butts, our women's coach. And Dave Rubio, our volleyball coach, just gave us a new prospect that I had lunch with on Sunday in Los Angeles. And so it's a group effort what we're doing, and we've got good people here that are continuing to help us move everything forward. And people like Jeff and Sharon Stevens and Dave and Edith Lowell and Cole and Jeannie Davis, when they give the gifts that they've given, then all of a sudden there are other people. I had somebody in my office this morning who I think is going to make a significant contribution towards the McHale project, and they talked about where they, you know, they said, boy, these other people are really stepping up and making these things a reality, and we need to do our part. And so that momentum is contagious, and I think we've got some good momentum and we want to keep that going.
Certainly sounds like it. As always, I appreciate your time. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Brad. Bear down.
Greg Byrne with us there for a couple of minutes. U of A athletic director. Now, for you ASU fans that are just going off of your chairs right now because you're screaming at your computer because the ASU alum just told me over the last two. Eric, did you catch that? The last 2 to 3 minutes of that interview?
I did.
Like, here is this donor, and here is this donor, and here is this donor, and here is this donor. And oh, by the way, we have this prospect. And by
facts are facts. I mean, facts are facts or facts
ASU
are facts.
ASU guys, you just heard it, okay? I mean, that's an ASU guy just crushing you. Good stuff. Oh, boy. That'll be fun. Tomorrow night down in Tucson for ASU U of A. We're on White Mountain Radio, of course. Great to be on White Mountain Radio, sports360az.com. On Twitter, @BradSusMatt, C-E-S-M-A-T. Stay with us.